Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is Peace Sunday, believe it or not, which may be hard to think about when you're rushing around, searching for that perfect gift, surrounded by people yelling, horns honking, and Christmas music on repeat nonstop. Then again, maybe that's why you're here at the church today, searching for a peaceful calm, something to restore your spirit for the rest of Advent and Christmas season. Or maybe you came to church today because you needed hope that peace on earth is possible in the midst of a 24-hour news cycle that only seems to report anger, destruction, and death. Yet peace is not the first word that comes to mind when I hear John the Baptist in today's scripture, as he cries out, "Prepare the way." Peace is definitely not the first word I think of when we hear John say, "Mountains will be leveled and paths straightened." Last time I checked, construction is not peaceful in any way. There is a lot of noise. But what if the peace of the Advent season is not necessarily about being calm in the midst of tragedy or about longing for quiet and solitude? What if instead peace means standing side by side with others less fortunate or less abled and making noise so that their issues are heard instead of ignored? According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary website, the first part of the definition of peace says, a state of tranquility or quiet, with specific reference to freedom from civil disturbance and a state of order within a community provided for by law or custom. But what about when the laws and customs that create the peace are made by those in power to control and silence the opposition? Is there really peace in that silence, or just order? The beginning of today's scripture reminds us that preparing for Christ means giving the little guy, the nobody prophet out in the wilderness, a voice. And it's not what you would call a tranquil voice. In Zechariah's song in our Luke 1 reading today, we hear that John's birth is called for the right side upping of the world, and are reminded that John's entry into our story is out of the wilderness, began with a listing of those powers who hold the world upside down. A listing of those in power who John has come and Jesus will follow behind to challenge. John calls for those listening then and to us today to change our ways from the status quo, to repent from laws that oppress and abuse and silence others. So often in matters of protest and uprising, the public calls for there to be peace in the region. But what they really mean is they want protesters to be quiet and behave so that the problems that the protesters are bringing forth, can be forgotten about. If they're just quiet, we don't have to face the things that are uncomfortable. We can just go back to how it was. Society doesn't want to hear about injustices against women, non-Christians, people of color. Doesn't want to hear about the injustices they face. A majority of people in today's world want the peace that Merriam-Webster talks about, the peace that only benefits those in charge, the peace of the emperor. And yet, the people in the streets calling out are asking for a new kind of peace, a just peace, where all are treated equally, no matter their beliefs or color of skin or gender. They are looking for the peace of Christ, a peace where love and forgiveness reign and everyone has a voice. If being loud and disrupting daily life is what protesters need to do to raise awareness and bring about change, then noise is needed to create peace. For protesters, letting the peace of power and order reign, staying silent means a continued life of being subjugated to rules of systemic injustice, rules of oppression, and for some, death. Protests continue around the United States and the world because these two definitions of peace, of society and of Christ, continue to contradict each other in our world. And yet we have John the Baptist coming in with a message to prepare the world, to turn the world right side up, to continue to call us to work for and to spread the message of the peace of Christ. So often, it's easier to be oblivious to our neighbor's pain. Yet, as the Reverend Rachel Keefe says in her blog, there is nothing in prepare the way of the Lord that says to do so by trampling others. Making paths straight doesn't mean ignoring racism and moving along. We're not supposed to be filling the valleys with hatred or lowering the hills with fear. Nor do we make smooth the rough places by ignoring the cries of those who have been victimized. Justifying oppression, hate, and violence, and maintaining the status quo do not prepare us in any way for the coming of Christ. Instead, we are invited by John to create a new definition of peace. And yet, silence is easy. As the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Or to put it in a more closer context, our churches begin to die the day we stop clothing ourselves in love and we stop letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. In this day and age, with the church as we know it for the past 50 years continues to fail at attracting new generations, we need to ask ourselves, whose peace are we letting rule our hearts? The beauty of God's grace and the hope in all of this preparedness is that there is also forgiveness and God's grace. The beauty in the church is that each year we still come back to Advent. We come back to celebrate hope, peace, love, and joy. And we get a chance to once again reflect and prepare our hearts to ask ourselves, which peace are we following? And to ask for God's forgiveness. because we still worship a God who not only created a wondrous universe, who placed the stars in the sky and brought us the Christ child, but we worship a God who heals our brokenness, forgives our sins, great and small, and showers us with a grace that empowers us and gives us hope to go back into the world and prepare the way with peace and hope and love. As the United Church of Christ, we say that we are a still-speaking congregation, but we are also a congregation that continues to act as God has taught us to act, to set our hearts and minds on God's love, to speak out for those who have no voice, to turn the world upside down and to follow Christ's commandment to love one another. I'm reminded again of Dr. Martin Luther King, who speaks of a beloved community. To paraphrase Dr. King, the beloved community is a place where love rules and all are included. There is no distinction between them and us. To reach this beloved community, much like the kingdom of God, love, reconciliation, a peace where all have a voice, must prevail. Obviously, we're not there yet, but we're the church, and we have God's grace and God's forgiveness, and when we work together so that all have a voice, we can do amazing things. And so, on this Peace Sunday, I also bring hope. For the hope of Advent isn't just on one Sunday, but throughout all four Sundays. The hope is that each Advent, we can once again wake up from the peaceful slumber that the world tells us about and reach for the peace of Advent, where we act as a whole church to raise awareness for those that have no voice, where we can act in the peace of knowing that we have worked to bring God's kingdom here on earth and turn the world right side up. When the church acts as a whole, we create change in our community and our world. And then Advent is no longer about waiting for the peace of Christ to come, but rather using the peace of Christ to prepare space for God's beloved community, God's kingdom here on earth. Amen.